Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Joshua and David had their worries, had their troubles in their day. But they knew no harm could overcome them when they'd kneel right down and pray.
Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Should old sin begin to overtake you, and old Satan's at your door, read the book, and there you find the answer, and sin will trouble you no more.
Now, sister, read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, sister? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Stay with me. This is the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, but I'm opening up with this song as an intro into our special guest on Testimony Tuesday.
Chapter every day. Lift your eyes up to the skies above you. Kneel right down and start to pray.
Now, children, read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, children? Every word is true.
Okay, for today's special guest on this Testimony Tuesday, I have three different portions of Scripture, three different books that I'm going to read from, and we're celebrating a dedicated day. Actually, their 52nd wedding anniversary will be in May, but as God supernaturally, divinely appointed today for me to be able to meet with Dan Ryan out of Springfield, and so I'm going to introduce him more formally in just a few minutes. But his wife, Marcia, and they'll be married 52 years next month, she liked Amos chapter 5, verse 4, which says, "This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel, seek me and live." And then jumping over to Romans chapter 8, I'll read verses 35 through 38. And this is one of Dan's favorite passages. He has many, and he has a legacy of living with an evangelist, his father. In fact, I'm getting to know his father through this storytelling and a book that Dan put together some years ago, and I'm just fascinated by all the different ways his dad touched people's lives, touched many musicians, and so many country western artists that you'd be very familiar with, especially if you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. But anyways, he also likes Romans 8. Whom shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, Dan, I'm thinking we could just close down the program. That's enough meat for people to chew on for the day. And then finally, another verse that both you and your wife love, but one of your favorites is 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it begins, "However, as it is written," and this is the part I'm sure you like, "no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, April 26th. And that's kind of maybe one of the longest intros I've had, Dan, as far as reciting some scriptures. But I wanted to get that in because we just met up. I'm just getting to know you. In fact, our office manager, Joyce Minkey, she said, Mark, you're going to like this future dedicated day that you're going to be doing because Dan's a former broadcaster, I think 20 years with WVEM, an easy listening station around the Springfield area, correct?
Yes.
You did that for a number of years. I think you also worked in Missouri about 18 or so years in broadcasting. You grew up in a family that was very attuned to broadcasting and working with radio stations because of your dad. And was it your dad and mom that had a cowboy radio program? Who was doing that?
It was a cowboy church program that mother and dad hosted. That was on Sundays at 9:30 for 18 years.
18 years. And listen to that voice. That's a radio voice. You're 75 years young, and
yes.
So I appreciate you on very short notice that I was going to be here in Springfield, that you could make it out and join me for today, the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And so before I begin with asking you a little of your faith journey, I know you met Marcia here in Springfield some years ago. As mentioned, next month it'll be 52 years, but tell me about that first encounter, or how was it set up that you met up with her?
Oh, goodness. It was at a birthday party.
Okay.
I saw a table full of pretty girls.
Okay.
And I picked out the prettiest one to sit by and asked her if I could take her home, and she said no.
Hmm.
So I set up a date in the future, and we dated and became married.
Yeah, became marriage, and now these almost 52 years later, so I'm sure there's been many life lessons. And what would you say is maybe a couple of her strengths or things that you thank God for as you think about her?
Oh, many things. Mm-hmm. She's very kind.
Now, by saying that, you've already graduated from Husbandry 101. That's a good first answer to say many things.
Yeah. Sure. She's very kind and loving. She's a real homebody. She doesn't like to go out much, and that keeps us out of restaurants a lot of times.
Sure, sure. You were also saying that she's very compassionate. She has a real, like, a merciful heart for people or situations, and I think you say, as you said, very caring. So she likes to reach out and just help people.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you were showing me this book, and I was fascinated. I was like, I've known some of these names. I mean, these are individuals that have presented at the Grand Ole Opry or are very known and well-known. So tell me a little about your dad, because that was the first few minutes that we were talking. You loved your dad, and you saw a transformation take place in him as he went out and touched so many people. He loved to evangelize.
Well, virtually every artist that's in the Hall of Fame in Nashville performed at Hillbilly Park that Dad promoted and had. He was a very successful radio man. He was also a promoter and had many successes in his career. But in 1958, he gave that all up, got born again, and became an evangelist, and he stayed that way until he died in 1996.
Yeah, I think you said that in his older age, he was always taking on whatever request he had, whether it was a small church that really couldn't even afford to pay him or to reimburse him for the gas money to anywhere. He just said, I'm going to be a servant of the Lord, and he loved to share the faith. And I think you had said in his younger days, he drank and smoked and wasn't walking faithfully in the Lord's ways, and yet the Lord got a hold of his heart. Did you get to know him and see that transformation, or did you just know him from the point where he was already following Jesus?
Oh, no. I grew up with it. Many times, mother would have me go into a bar and bring him out. But he quit. He quit smoking, quit drinking, and started preaching, and never refused a church the call, never. I think he was in just about every kind of church he could be in, sharing salvation. And since he played guitar, he always sang in church with his old Martin D-28.
Now, you have all this radio background yourself, and part of me is thinking, how can we get him involved here at WLUJ in assisting and such? But you grew up in a family that was in and out of radio stations and presenting and performing. Is that where you caught the bug? How did you decide that that was going to be something you were going to do? Because I know you were involved in the Navy. Thank you for serving our nation.
Hey.
And I think it was when you returned from the Navy. Is that when you ended up meeting Marcia?
Yeah.
Okay, so take us a little through your radio experience.
Well, when I was in the Navy aboard the USS Enterprise, we were doing cruises to Vietnam. We had a closed-circuit radio TV station on there. And the manager of the station asked me one time if I wanted to do the news. I did the news, and I fell in love with broadcasting. It wasn't Dad influencing me.
Sure, sure.
But I got the bug, and when I got out of the service, I went to Career Academy, Division of Famous Broadcasters, by correspondence, got my FCC license, which you needed then.
Right, right.
Had to go to Chicago. Marcia and I went up and felt like hillbillies out in the city. But got my FCC license, and I went to work at WVEM part-time, and then I became music director, then I became operations manager. And I was there probably 3 or 4 years, and I was attending college. I didn't finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out of the Navy, I did the GED.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcia insisted I go to Lincoln Land. I went to Lincoln Land,
sure.
And I said, I kind of like this.
Mm.
So I did the 2 years there. I got my AA degree. I thought, I'm going to try SSU, Sangamon State, which is now U of I Springfield. Went there, I got my BA, and I thought, I might change the world if I get my MA. So I went. I got my MA in 81. All this time I was working in radio.
Wow.
So,
and it was kind of fun. You got here a little early, and I was showing them around, showing them some of the equipment and the technology, how it's advanced. And in the old days, you had to take all those tests and be familiar with the equipment and sound waves and capacitors and all the gizmos that the transmitters would use and tubes. And it was much more involved, much more demanding. Nowadays, with the solid-state equipment, I mean, you could flip burgers at McDonald's on Friday and work in the radio station on Saturday because so many things have been advanced. And you were looking around like, well, where's all the equipment? And I'm like, well, it's digitized and it's pretty simplistic. I mean, there's elements that are much more technical, but it's been much more simplified. I know in the old days when they used to even use reel-to-reel and you'd have to cut and do a lot more work in engineering, and now you can utilize the technology to our advantage. But it's fun showing you around and then seeing some of this book. Name some of those people that you were flipping through, because I know some of our senior saints and some of our older listeners, these names will resonate. And these were friends of your dad that he either interviewed or performed with or featured and hired.
Yeah. Oh, Johnny Cash, Kitty Wells, Ernest Tubb, Jim Reeves, Red Foley, just the virtual Hall of Fame members.
Mm-hmm. And he was befriended by many of them. Did he bring them home? Did you get to know some of these? Were your friends like, Dan, how come you get to meet all these people?
Oh, Lord, yeah. I never knew who would be there when I got home. Ernest Tubb spent a couple nights with us. When Elvis Presley did a 3-show appearance in St. Louis at the Missouri Theater, one of many on a cavalcade, I got to meet him and had my picture taken with him. I took that to 6th grade. I was 9 years old when I was there, mother and my sister and her friend. He offered to take us to dinner, but we didn't. But I had the picture of us together. I took that to 6th grade, and I told one girl that Elvis was at my house. And by 5 o'clock, we had a line of cars on the Beltline in Belleville, unending line, thinking Elvis was at my house.
Oh.
So that was my first big radio promotion.
Sure, sure. And so you worked in radio for a number of years. I know you also did sporting goods. Was it Kmart?
Kmart.
Kmart. Are there many Kmarts still around? I don't know if they're even around anymore. It's like the Walmart's taken over Target and some of the other superstores. You also worked for the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yes.
And was it there where you kind of got bored? Were you the face or the voice and you thought, I have enough of this TV appearances and such? Was that with them?
Well, you know, I did a half an hour TV program we did. I still have them in the library. They're called IEPA Today.
IEPA Today.
We'd go on location and interview different people about the work the agency was doing. So we have that in our roster.
We open up with 3 different verses, and maybe another time we'll get Marcia in here. I know she's a little more reluctant, but She liked Amos 5:24, but I'm going to have you comment a little on that. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'm still open to that. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And as we were talking before the program, I had cited something and you said, oh yeah, God's word won't return void or empty. And I thought, oh, okay, we have a little biblical scholar here. He knows his word. But what's this about the things that God has prepared for those who love him? Have you seen God at work in your life through these many years as you followed him?
Oh, Lord, every day when I get up, we don't know what to expect. No one, I believe, wants to be born when we're in the womb. So nobody wants to die. It's just another birth that we go into.
Sure. Well, I know we were talking about some of your friends, and I included some of mine that aren't believers or followers of Jesus yet. In fact, some are maybe more agnostic. They're not quite sure if there's a God or not a God, but then there's others that are atheistic. There is no God. There's no such thing as God. And we kind of laughed about how seemingly easy it is for us to believe there's a God, and we don't know if God put that into our heart and mind, or it's kind of hard to explain. We just trust. We believe the Bible. We know there's a good God behind the universe, but it seems like you feel you have a real heart for those that don't know Jesus yet, that haven't followed him yet. So somebody that's maybe driving to work or happened to tune us in, what would you say to them about God, why he is seemingly real or somebody to follow or somebody to at least entertain that could exist?
Well, I think Billy Graham said it best. No one is prepared to live until they're prepared to die. If you believe in an eventual end, it's a pretty dark world. There has to be more.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll miss that great reunion with your family and friends and loved ones if you don't believe.
So with your faith journey, did it come at an early age or midlife? I think actually I wrote down 1972, so you would have been in your 20s, 30s?
Yeah, 20s.
Okay.
I'd always believed in the Easter story and Christmas. Always did. Mother and Dad were doing church work when I was in the Navy, and I know that their prayers helped me get through that period.
Sure.
We were working long and hard and catching airplanes. I worked on the Enterprise, USS, and recovered aircraft. That was the noisiest place in the world to work. But I always believed those stories, but I had never really realized how Jesus Christ died for me. And Dad gave me a St. John, Book of St. John, little booklet he got from Moody Bible Institute. I read that 3 or 4 times, and I realized that I was doomed to death, except that the Lord saved me from it for just believing.
Yeah, it cost him a great price, but what a free gift that's offered to all of us, to any that believe and confess their sins and recognize they need a Savior. And with some of my atheist friends, I know we were kidding about this a bit before, but it's like, I'll just say, we'll call him Al. I would say to Al, Al, I just marvel at the faith that you have to believe that you just evolved out of nothing, primordial slime that came together over eons of time, and that the mosquito is no different than you, and that you have no ultimate plan or purpose because you don't believe in a God or anyone behind the universe. And wow, what faith you must have. And so I said, it just seems much more practical or obvious that somebody is behind it all and designed things and created things and gave meaning and purpose. And so we both have that commonality that we want people to know about Jesus. And thank you, God, that we both believe that and follow that and like his word. And there's another verse that you also pointed out that you enjoy. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, which is, wow, think about that, God who loves you, friend. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just again echo those words. Thank you, God, that you loved us, that as we just recently celebrated Easter, he loved us so much, he sent his son into the world so that we could know what God was like. But Jesus took on that punishment that we all deserved, and God did, in fact, demonstrate his love, and it seems like you've demonstrated a lot of love towards Marcia these many years, 52 years next month, so congratulations. Thank you for dedicating that day and this week, so thank you for coming in today, and then tomorrow we're dedicating the day in honor of you and Marcia, and thank you for your support of this ministry. Have you been a longtime listener to WLUJ Family Stations?
Yeah, that's the only station on our bedroom radio.
Okay, okay.
We use it to wake up. And I wanted to say that the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
And the thief, who's the devil, cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy.
Yeah.
But I am come, Christ, that they have life and life more abundantly.
Okay.
And after the very first Easter, it's Easter every day.
That's right. We live in that resurrection time, and we're going to be joined with him, and we have an eternity to look forward to where there's no more pain or suffering or heartache or disappointment. And so, listening friend, if this is new information to you, take it from Dan, take it from me, that there's a God who loves you, who cares for you, who wants to redeem you, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, his one and only begotten Son, who loves you, who showed his love for you by dying on the cross, by taking on your sins, my sins. He suffered the punishment that we all deserve. We can't earn our way into heaven. It's all by what he's done on our behalf, and it's a free gift that he gives to all, to any that call on his name. So if you've not called on the name of Jesus today, we'd highly recommend you doing that. And if you want to talk to somebody about having a relationship with God, or can you believe the Bible, or who is Jesus, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And those friendly folks will answer any of your questions about the Christian faith, how to have a relationship with God, who is Jesus. And maybe today will be that new birth, that new day where you can look forward to all eternity with certainty that there's a God who loves you. Well, thank you, Dan. Say hi to Marcia, and congratulations on your 52 years. I know if it's the day of our open house here at the WLUJ Family of Stations. So when you celebrate, join us on the 21st here. We're going to have our open house and some fun games, giveaways, and such. And that way I'll get to meet Marcia. But thank you for supporting this ministry. Thank you for your faith journey. And I trust some listeners will take some of our words to heart, and I pray it'll be a redemptive day for all.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dan Ryan with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.